Fly Me to the Moon, taking Middlesbrough football fans through the Premiership cosmos. And hey, if I'm mispronouncing Middlesbrough, realize, one, I'm an American, and two, it's the fault of the YouTube pronunciation video.
That's our little tribute to Mr. Trump. Because when last we spoke, Rob, clearly...
That's very true.
Exactly. We didn't even realise what a hairstyle would actually be occupying the White House. But, yeah, life continues. Seriously, welcome to Fly Me to the Moon, or as we like to perhaps say... Perhaps not. Absolutely. No, actually, what we were doing there, of course, was the classic mannequin.
Yes.
For, I say we because we're joined by Aaron Craig. Yay!
Hello.
How are you, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Aaron, of course, head chef at Rockcliffe Hall.
Yep.
Which is well known to Borough fans, Rob. Why?
Because that's where the training ground's based, and that's the hotel of Steve Gibson.
Exactly. This is the podcast companion for issue 570, the Chelsea game, of course, which brings a bit of nostalgia back for me because it was Middlesbrough-Chelsea, the first ever game I saw at the old Ayresome Park. And it was a wild draw of the days of Charlie Cook.
Yes.
From that point of view. So I think second game under Jack Charlton back in the old First Division.
Yeah, 1974.
Yeah, the premiership of its day. And it doesn't seem like, you know, a decade ago or even several decades ago. But in this particular edition, of course, we've got a new manager for Chelsea. And as we've said in the little descriptor for this little podcast, it's Spain versus Italy. In a managerial
in
sense,
a way,
of course,
yeah.
from that point of view. Also, good to see that ITV are continuing the tradition of having a borough manager as one of their pundits.
Yes.
Given, obviously, the tragedy of the Scottish manager. I'm sorry, Gordon, honestly. and Gareth Southgate, of course, Terry Venables, and now, of course, Aitor Karanka making his debut on the whole thing. But the international break has wrapped. We're back on top form now.
Yeah.
And... obviously, I was somewhat torn by the Etihad result, but did you enjoy the experience, Rob? After Gorgeous George pops that little crossover to Martin Deroon to run onto the whole thing, and you just thought, what are you doing? I can't say bravo for that at all.
I enjoyed injury time. I did, Alex. No, it was great. It was a great experience. I think the Man City fans, and indeed Ian Wright on Match of the Day, were mocking us in the first half, saying how terrible we were playing. But basically, we'd played a similar tactic against Arsenal a couple of weeks before, and it worked really well. Man City, there was too much of a gap between, just defence and one man up front, Negredo, wasn't there? So that was a problem. But it was a really, really sort of big positive for us, the fact that people have often said that Aitor Karanka's got no plan B. Well, certainly had to come up with a plan B when you concede a goal right on half time. It looked quite foreboding going into the second half, but we turned it round. Immediately, Negredo went for goal, didn't he, from the halfway line?
I thought, is he doing a Naeem here? The old Naeem
exactly.
From the halfway line when he was there. And it was fairly close, actually. I
mean, it was.
Quite a sort of...
bravo, backpedalling.
I did have a sense, though. I mean, even before the game, I thought, with the 0-0 against Arsenal, I had a feeling you'd do the same to City.
That weekend, every team that played in Europe struggled, didn't they? So it's very interesting that, you know, that, and there was, unfortunately, Chelsea aren't playing in Europe this weekend or any other weekend. That's why Chelsea have got a very good, a very, very strong chance, haven't they, this season?
Well, it does look quite interesting in terms of the way we're going. And we mustn't obviously get over complacent because although we're still the top team in the North East, it's getting fairly tight at the nether ends of the Premiership.
It is indeed, yeah. That's again. Other teams profited from playing teams in Europe, and something's got to give.
Hull City.
Well, I was just going to say the fact that Sunderland and Hull both won last week, the last fixtures, and now they're coming head to head. So somebody possibly could win two in a row, which will do an awful lot for their confidence. It's probably a good time for them
Let's
to play
just
that.
Hope it's not David Moyes. what's the cause, I mean, obviously, Aaron, wearing your hat as a chef can you share with us, are you under a Dino's? Can you say nothing at all, etc.? I mean, because clearly Rockcliffe Hall, as I said, Steve Gibson's wonderful sort of dream palace match, the Borough players train, etc. What's the kind of input that you sort of have for the whole thing?
None whatsoever. I got all what to do. But yeah, there's a good feeling around Rockcliffe at the minute. You know, it's The good thing when you work at Rockcliffe is everybody's a Middlesbrough fan. Even people who come from any other parts of the country and support team, you rare enough want to see Middlesbrough do well. And it's really good to see them doing the last three games doing, you know, I know some of them have been 0-0 draws and, but they're doing really well and the guys are really well thought of in the whole resort. So it's really good. It's nice to see them up there. We've really good hope for them to stay up. I've got a funny feeling they're going to stay up this season. So it's, everything's really positive and anything we can do at the hotel to help them, we try to. So it's all positive.
Is the nutrition looked at and scrutinised?
I think so, yeah. Really? Wow. I only give them menus, but yeah, definitely, yeah, that's all looked after and the boys eating well.
That's all well.
Yeah, good.
So it's sounding good from that point of view. In the programme today, we'll be looking at perhaps some of the words of Chris Bartley, upwards and onwards, that's what they're. Interesting, 31 shopping days until Christmas, the line that's sort of given there. And a special bonus festive Christmas subscription details, which we can provide about the whole sort of stuff.
Very true.
Homes at the Riverside thriller continues to obviously maintain its excitement. Should we have a Northern Irish sort of take on the sort of redone of Homes at the it's the thrilling centre page chapter. But Rob, explain for the benefit of the listener who may not have actually been aware of Holmes and the Riverside Thriller, how we've already reached Melvin Small's chapter 4.
We have indeed, yeah, and he's actually got his volume 2 of his book was released last week, which is set in Sherlock Holmes in Middlesbrough in Baker Street. Contemporary wise, and his Holmes is a borough lad who supports the borough, and he's brilliantly he's serialised a sort of special thriller for us in the middle pages right through the season, where somebody is found dead at the Riverside, and a UEFA Cup match hangs in the balance, because if they don't solve the crime in time, then the match will be called off and we'll be in trouble there. So Holmes is chapter 4. He's struggling to come to terms with it. He's sort of bundled his way into the investigation. He's making some progress, I think you'll find in this.
I think if I do the narrator, would yourself and Aaron like to actually take on the roles of Holmes, etc., and possibly sort of one of the other folk who's actually there? We'll just take the first sort of reading of this, shall we? I mean, it's a bit of sort of creativity that's actually there. So shall we have a rehearsal? I'll tell you, we'll come back after our commercial break, work out who's saying what, and then a whole new era in podcast broadcasting history will launch.
Today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you fancy a film, we have over 80 great films to choose from, to suit all ages and all film tastes. Why not check out the free film trailers and see if there's anything you fancy? If the latest blockbuster film isn't your thing, then how about one of our classic films, such as The Great Escape, Rain Man, or Some Like It Hot?
250?
250?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250 guys just walking down the road just like that.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver.
You know how to drive?
Yeah.
Right now! You never touch the steering wheel when I'm driving. Do you hear me?
Of course, I don't have my underwear.
To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial *800.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition. the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at Superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or The Fragrance for Men.
We entered the Slater's pack to find it packed with a number of football fans who'd recently had their plans for the evening disrupted. We approached the bar, and Holmes requested the use of my phone, which contained a picture of the deceased I had taken earlier. Much to Holmes' consternation, I hesitated, whispering in his ear that it may be upsetting for some to see the picture of a dead body.
Good point, Doc,
he remarked before turning to address the two barmaids.
Ladies, have you ever seen a dead body?
No!
Would you like to?
Not particularly,
replied the taller of the two. Genius.
Scene setters.
Precisely. That's just a little taste there of what we have promised. We'll hopefully, I mean, have you approached Melvin with the possibility of doing a live piece of a whole episode?
He's coming round to it.
Warming to the whole thing.
Yeah.
We could actually take it to Rockley Fort. We could have a special evening. We could actually do the whole sort of sequence. It's tremendous. We have the players there. It could be bonding with the community in every sense of the word, which is pretty much what we like to do. You're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion. Just enough time for us to say,
hi, this is Bernie Slavin, and you're listening to Rob Nichols and Fly Me to the Moon.
Ah, thank you, Bernie, because exactly. I was talking to Mr. Slavin last week at a special afternoon, or was it morning, for an exhibition of illustrations by Richard Piers Rayner in Middlesbrough at the Python Gallery, which is quite close to the railway station, behind the Bongo. And Bernie was there with a large group of the class of 86, so we call them, like Tony Mowbray, Gary Gill, and Gary Pallister, also joined by Alan Peacock, who was Alan, Tony, and Bernie are all depicted by Richard Piers Rayner. Richard Piers Rayner is a cartoon illustrator for DC Comics, also for Doctor Who, who he always sets in Middlesbrough, and he was the illustrator used for Road to Perdition, which got 5 Oscars, was based on his illustrated graphic novel. He's also was Arts and Residence at Middlesbrough Football Club for 16 years. So what he's done at Python Gallery is he's told the story of Middlesbrough from the very inception right the way through to Massimo Macaroni's diving header against Steaua Bucharest. So there's he does it as comic book art, so he tells the different episodes, for instance, where we won the FA Amateur Cup for the first time, but we were playing all Carthusians who were so certain they were going to win they didn't even bother to bring the cup, so we came back home to celebrate without a cup. So, because quite some interesting episodes and some familiar faces there, and it's actually it was supposed to finish Friday, which is the day we're doing this now, but it's actually got an extension. It's going to be open 6 till 11 for a special event on Saturday night, and then for all fans going to the Chelsea game, it'll be open between 12 and 4, and it's just behind the Bongo Python Gallery at Gosford Street, Royal Middlehaven House, and I would recommend it to everyone.
Excellent. So there was a time a long time ago before the gentrification actually occurred when actually sort of visiting that particular establishment the would not be sort of seen as the right thing to actually do in any way, shape or form. But there they are. Life continues.
A rite of passage, maybe.
Who would have thought that Master Thomas Barclay would be saying 3 years on Ito Karanka's
book? Yeah.
It does seem as...
Three years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the initial scepticism, I suppose, because there was obviously a sad loss when Tony Mowbray headed off to Coventry or various other sort of routes.
Yeah.
You can't really knock with knock Karanka's record. I mean, it's
no, absolutely. He was brought in to get his promotion, and the first season we narrowly failed at Wembley, obviously, in the playoff final. And then the second season come back and we did it, and albeit going down at the last minute against Brighton, but that was a fantastic cliffhanger. And here we are trying to establish ourselves in the Premier League. His record is phenomenal. He's got well over 50% wins, and it's amazing to think back that, yeah, 3 years have passed pretty quickly, haven't they?
Lost his first game, then home win Leeds. Came a week later following the loss against Leeds, beat Bolton. Bolton, now that's an interesting...
I know, absolutely.
Headed into a different direction.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts when Ito Karanka actually made it to Middlesbrough?
Yeah, a bit like what Rob said, like he's had a really good 3 years at the season. Some of the decisions he makes, Rob, I look at, you know, who he plays and stuff, and Jordan Rhodes not playing as much as he should. So you can't question I can question some of the things that he does, but yeah, he's definitely been good for the team, good for the area, and you know, look where Middlesbrough is now. Hopefully this season will at least stay up and keep on cracking forward, really. So it's really positive, and it's probably been one of the best managers for a long time, really.
Yeah. Well, it certainly has achieved. And yet you talk about individual decisions, and sometimes he seems to get it right in the end, because like Victor Valdez appeared to be an absolute nightmare choice to be in goal at the start of the season. But you mentioned like Arsenal and Manchester City games, and he certainly turned it round in those games, and he was phenomenal against Manchester City. And incidentally, Dimi Konstantopoulos is opening his new restaurant in Middlesbrough next week. So, you'll be able to sort of dine with Dimi from now on, his Greek restaurant.
Clearly,
on Linthorpe Road.
It seems as though, you know, Aaron should actually do some undercover.
Yeah, Aaron, yeah, you will, yeah.
Let's go have a look.
And sort the whole thing through, which is all great stuff there. But yes, we should have a little catering scenario.
Yeah.
Things from that perspective, which is all good. Okay, moving on. Do you think Aitor will stay with the club? I mean, is for the foreseeable future? Because clearly that's the next thing that panics fans when your manager is doing well. Suddenly you think, oh, we'll just take a look at that. So it's one of the other sides in the division or country.
I think there's unfinished business, isn't there, which is making sure we stay up and establishing Middlesbrough in the Premier League. I think that's when the manager really comes to everyone else's attention. But, we're still part of the way through. In the same way that people are talking, linking Ben Gibson to Chelsea, still work to do, yeah.
You mentioned obviously the fantastic Gary Pallister piece and Pally's View and the exhibition of Richard Pearse Rayner, which is actually the interviews used to always be in the centre, but clearly with the excitement of the home story, the interviews sort of moved slightly on that sort of basis there. As we sort of continue through the actual season, this is the time where as we're looking at the whole thing, what would we like against Chelsea? Because, I mean, my sense is it could well be a draw, but actually 3 points would be much more worthwhile at this particular stage.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron.
Obviously a win and 3 points would be good, but I can, honestly, in my heart of hearts, things could be hopefully a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, it'd be very, very tough. Look at the last match that Chelsea played. They absolutely swept Everton aside 5-0, wasn't it? Which was phenomenal. And because people have said, how do we approach
Having
this
said
game?
That, Rob, can I just say one
Go
thing?
Go on then.
Manchester City 4, Barcelona 1. So, you know, that stage, but obviously much better than Barcelona.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, when Middlesbrough face these big clubs, they always seem to do really, really well. Mm. You know, it's the little clubs when they go away to these little clubs, and the clubs further down the league. Like Sunderland. We seem to do really bad and lose to them, but they always seem to sort of show up when the big teams come to town.
And I suppose it really depends on what sort of professional mood Eden Hazard happens to be in, and Diego Costa, and whether they
and whether they're fit.
Yeah,
actually,
sort of working through that whole process. It's an interesting line. Saturday 3 p.m. exclusive book extract. 50 Eternal Delights of Football. Daniel Gray, writing about this, aimed at all fans of the game, rooted in his beloved borough. Entry 37. Knowing where you were is a fine example of our club's influence on the author. Would you endorse, obviously, a full page spread on Daniel Gray's work?
Yeah,
Saturday,
yeah.
3 p.m. And his views on. What he concludes with, it is all enormously comforting. And in a world where we're awash with financial crises, presidential crises, all sorts of other sort of issues, what happens with Aleppo, where is Aleppo, it's in Syria, and all the other sort of factors, is that line, it's all enormously comforting, essential.
Absolutely, yes. Dan goes to, he lives in Scotland now, so he goes to watch football at all levels and in both countries, really. So it's, I'm just looking at that stray page 19 that's got.
I felt it was almost as though it was on a typographical wander.
Eyes were drawn to it. It's in the middle of the page.
Bringing the number 19 to life. I mean, yeah. Technically it should really have been 19.
You're right,
But that's a Hardcastle moment, which I won't go into.
Oh, very good.
And if you can actually recognise that reference, write in. Contact us. Send an email to us. Always good for that, by the way.
Yes, I think so. Saturday 3 PM is a disappearing thing from the culture as well, but perhaps it's. He lives in Scotland, and I think Saturday 3 PM probably still dominates the lower leagues that he goes to see, there's definitely a certain comfort in tradition, isn't there, really?
Back in the day when, of course, gate receipts were at the heart of most clubs, and of course Saturday half-take closing was a way of actually enhancing the increasing leisure time that people were getting at the end of the Industrial Revolution, giving them something to do, cheer on their local sides, and so on.
Yes, and we're talking on a day that the Premier League have just announced a record deal with China, which is absolutely a phenomenal new payout. So
makes a change from 100 years ago, where we're right in the middle of the Battle of the Somme. Life continues. Aaron, would you like to promote an event that's taking place at Rockcliffe Hall tomorrow night? If tickets are still available, feel free to do so, or not, as the case may be.
So because it's obviously really important month, 100 years ago, and obviously 100 years ago today, the Battle of the Somme. So we're doing a dining history tomorrow. So we're doing food that the soldiers would have had in the trenches in the Second World War at Rockcliffe Hall, and obviously proceeds are going to Help for Heroes.
You won't have to eat it out of like a billy kind of.
It'll be my take on it, so we're not going to do that. So it'll be quite refined, but it'll be basically what the guys are in the trenches. So.
Hopefully the bayonets will be left at the door.
Yeah.
Very important.
No Germans.
Aaron, you may say that in these days, if Frau Merkel wants to drop by, I still feel, despite Brexit, we need to sort of keep those battles going from that sort of point of view. Okay, finally, Nick Hoy, fascinating article here, The Ones That Got Away. Some interesting lines here relating to Chelsea's household names that have been and gone. Samuel Eto'o, André Schürrle, Demba Ba.
Yeah.
And Felipe Luis, of course. So I never know what sort's going to happen from that sort of perspective. You never know. But again, that notion of one more big day circled on his George Friend calendar, November the 20th. Nick Hoy's birthday. Happy birthday, Nick.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Exactly. Very good from that point of view. Aaron, what's your prediction for tomorrow's game? Are you sticking with a draw?
Draw.
I think I might go 1-1.
I'm going to be a super optimist. I think the big thing, isn't it, we've gone away from home at Arsenal, we've gone away from Manchester City, we've kind of shut up shop. Can you do that at home? I think it's difficult to say you can do that. But then again, we were talking about Everton. Everton played three at the back. They tried to attack Chelsea and got absolutely hammered 5-0, wasn't it? So it'd be interesting to see what tactic he deploys. If you read the interviews in here, you get a very different view from Bernie Slaven and Gary Pallister as to what sort of result we should be looking for. I think, it's, as you alluded to, Alex, should we be looking for a draw or looking for a win? So I'm gonna let my heart rule my head and say we're going to beat Chelsea 2-1, which if we were to do it again, it would be like a famous victory, wouldn't it?
It would be a lovely platform to take on Leicester City.
Yeah.
It's the KEC Stadium or KP Stadium?
King Power.
King Power, exactly. King Power Stadium. Followed, of course, by a game against Hull City.
That's going to be a crunch game.
Away to Southampton.
Yes, that's right.
How can people subscribe with that special bonus Christmas feature to Fly Me to the Moon, issues 571, 572, these for the rest of the season, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. You can still subscribe. And I've kept the back issues, nice. So it's £22 for the season. Checks to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentwood Centre, Chilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS1, 5AP. Or I'll do a special thing because the season splits nicely
it's
into
the holiday season.
It does indeed.
If you happen to be someone who actually sort of thinks, don't mention the C word, it's the holiday season.
Okay, it's holiday season. It splits nicely into 5 before Christmas and 5 after Christmas. So for £11, we'll send you a Christmas card from everyone that Fly Me to the Moon. Maybe even Alex.
I'll happily sign it. Yes, exactly. Which should decrease the value substantially. But yes, I'll happily do that.
And to the same address, but this time checks for £11 to fly me to the moon and put Christmas subscription, so I know what you're thinking, what you're wanting. Yeah, and I'd say Alex will send you a Christmas card.
Yeah, so there you have it. In every sense of the word, Aaron, can you remember the last few words? Of course, actually, have we stuck with this in the end?
I've returned.
We've gone retro to the whole notion. Yeah. Because, let's face it, you know, we can always move up that league for that sort of
thing. Yeah, exactly.
So let's go with
those. We need to.
Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough. Up there, Borough.
Not quite as strongly delivered from Aaron as I thought we'd got to. I mean, I thought...
I didn't realize you'd go that fast.
Aaron, motivation here. Get in touch with your female side. As you did perfectly for I mean, the way in which you said...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not particularly genius. There are people who are listening to this now who'll be playing that podcast clip back time and time again.
I knew the reason why I didn't come here this often.
I got chills. Let's see if we can wrap this up. So after three. One, two, three.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.